This is Ozarks at Large. During yesterday's edition of our program, we heard from justices of the peace in Washington County about how they would like to see the county use its $4.5 million CARES Act reimbursement from the state. Their opinions mostly broke down along party lines. Democrats on the board would like to see the money go to various relief efforts for residents, while Republicans say the county may still have unforeseen expenses related to the pandemic that it has to prepare for. Although there was some agreement about using some of the funds for COVID-19 vaccination clinics. Benton County, which has a quorum court made up entirely of Republicans, also received a CARES Act reimbursement. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek tells us more about how the justices of the peace there are going about discussing ways to use the money.
In January, Benton County welcomed 8 new justices of the peace to its 15-member quorum court. Joseph Bollinger, who represents District 7, is one of them.
We need to spend it to help the people of Benton County, not have it sit in reserves. I think that's not being good with our tax dollars.
Which is why at this month's Finance Committee meeting, Bollinger proposed a plan for a portion of the $3.8 million reimbursement the county received from the first round of federal pandemic relief, known as the CARES Act. He says he would like to see the quorum court put $1 million into a grant program for Benton County's small businesses.
It would address businesses that have an annual revenue from $0 to $200,000, and then $200,000 to $400,000, and depending on how much gross revenue they have. And the current state of it, if you make between $0 to $200,000 with your business, you'll be eligible for a $5,000 grant. And if you make from $200,000 to $400,000, you'll be eligible for a $2,500 grant.
Bollinger says those numbers and some of the parameters of the program may change once his plan goes through a newly formed subcommittee made up of 7 quorum court members.
An ordinance like this is quite complex, and just naturally it's going to be take a lot of conversation, right? I mean, we're not Congress who meets every single day, right? So we need to be able to have time to be able to make just all these small little changes. Because at the end of the day, and that's what I told people at the Finance Committee, is don't just reject this outright because it's complex or you don't support it. Let's talk about it. Let's find a solution so at the end of the day, we can do what's best for the people of Benton County.
Benton County Judge Barry Mooring says it's been a while since the quorum court formed a subcommittee.
Typically in Benton County, we don't operate in subcommittees.
Instead, there are just 2 committees, the Finance Committee and the Committee of the Whole. And then there's the quorum court.
In my first few years as judge, we found it to be quite unwieldy to have all these different committees. And our JPs, everybody wanted to participate on every committee anyhow. So it's like, well, let's just put everybody together and go for it. But this was a little bit of a specific instance. And so the quorum court requested that I form the subcommittee, and the way we're structured here, I form that subcommittee and then they take off and go for it.
Mooring says understanding how the county got to this point starts by going back to last March when the COVID-19 pandemic arrived in Arkansas, which is why he thought it was important to lay out those details at this month's Finance Committee meeting.
Because I thought the presentation was important to level set for this quorum court, how we got to where we are today, because we have 8 new members from the time in which we applied for the grant and received it. And then we had a pretty big turnover on our quorum court. So I wanted to make sure to kind of bring everybody up to speed on how we got to where we are.
In March 2020, Mooring says county officials went to the quorum court to get an emergency authorization for spending money on items that would allow the county to operate during the pandemic, for keeping track of those funds, and for holding virtual meetings.
And we started to accumulate expenses, you know, for things like masks and disinfectant and disinfecting machines and plexiglass and just a litany. We have our comptroller, our CFO, has kept a very long, detailed list of all these things we spent money on.
The county didn't become eligible for a CARES Act reimbursement from the state until October.
The funds that we applied for on the basis of payroll reimbursement for individuals, for jobs that were affected by responding to the pandemic. And we had hundreds of those positions. We had jailers, we had deputies, we had 911 dispatchers, we had emergency personnel. And so the application of the CARES Act money is for reimbursement for those positions. So that's how we end up in this place where the CARES Act money is actually now unencumbered. It's money that has been fulfilled according to the grant.
Mooring says there was still a lot of uncertainty about the future when the county was applying for a portion of the $75 million the state allocated for county reimbursements.
We had planned significant budget cuts based on projected revenue decreases. And so part of that funding was to come in and keep those positions dedicated to COVID response funded. You know, there were fears at the time, if you go back to last summer, that if revenue didn't come in, we had to keep the jail operating. We had to keep jailers on. We had to keep deputies running. We had to keep CENTCOM running.
Ultimately, Mooring says the dire predictions for revenue losses didn't come to pass.
We dramatically undershot how bad this was going to be. Revenues actually came in pretty well. We didn't have to furlough or lay anybody off. We were able to handle the expenses related to COVID. And so now, yes, in that CARES Act line, we have that money sitting there.
In the end, he says the county ended up with about $400,000 in direct COVID-19 expenses on items like personal protective equipment, disinfectants, and dividers. There were also additional costs for indirect expenses.
For example, we expanded our quorum court room to better accommodate social distancing. We put in AV equipment into our circuit court room so that we didn't have to bring inmates over from the jail and we could do adjudications and arraignments from the jail. Those I think we put into this indirect line, which is similar, about another 370 or so thousand. So that's about $750,000 that we would say is directly or indirectly related to COVID expenses.
And lastly, there was about $1 million in budget cuts that had been made in anticipation of potential shortfalls that Mooring says the quorum court made up for in its 2021 budget.
So we estimate the total budget impact was about $1.8 million, give or take.
Which leaves about $2 million that could be used in other ways. But Mooring says he has mixed feelings about spending the funds on COVID-19 related relief.
There's a part of me that says, you know, we should just retain those funds for future use, whether it's related to facilities or other health issues that might come up or modifying facilities to accommodate something like what we just experienced. There's another part of me that says, well, maybe you ought to have some of those funds expended for direct intervention in areas of need. Certainly small business is one of those.
Normally, he adds, the county is not in the business of giving money away.
We're not really equipped for that. That's a new thing for us. And so I'm a little concerned about the precedent we would set, but this is a unique situation.
Joseph Bollinger praises the budget cuts made by the previous quorum court to prepare for the unknown scope and scale of the pandemic. But he doesn't want the county sitting on taxpayer dollars, especially when so many of those taxpayers could use assistance.
They need our help. And if we want to have a strong small business sector when we are at the end of COVID, we have to be able to help them. And after all, these small businesses pay about 19% of the federal revenue, excuse me. And they never ask for anything from the federal government, minus, the common defense that everyone else receives from the federal government. And honestly, it's their tax dollars. And I think it's best spent to help them in their time of need.
Bollinger agrees implementing the grant program will take some work, and it's not the county's usual role.
Well, no one on the quorum court has actually ever gone through a global pandemic either. So here we are. We're all learning this together. As far as I'm aware, none of us were alive in 1918. It's an unprecedented time, and unprecedented times call for unprecedented measures. And just because it's never been done before doesn't mean it shouldn't happen.
What is happening, though, are COVID-19 vaccination clinics in various cities like Rogers, Decatur, Siloam Springs, and Garfield that involve the county's emergency management department. Here's County Judge Barry Mooring again.
But those are also a little bit like reinventing the wheel every time. You got to find a facility, you got to find volunteers, you got to find vaccinators, et cetera, et cetera. And so now, as more and more vaccines becoming available, in order to make sure that we're not a bottleneck, we're thinking of having now a permanent vaccination destination out at the fairgrounds.
At their recent finance committee meeting, the justices of the peace voted to use $100,000 of the CARES Act reimbursement to fund efforts to vaccinate 10,000 people over the course of 8 weeks. The proposal now goes before the quorum court, which meets tonight. And if that goes well, Mooring says their plan is scalable, so the county will be able to expand its vaccination program if necessary.
By the way, we don't think this is the panacea for everything in the county. There are other efforts ongoing by the Northwest Arkansas Council, the health systems. Those should all continue as well. This is just a complement to those other ones. And we feel probably more of an obligation to more of the rural communities So putting this on the west side out in closer to rural Benton County makes a lot of sense. If we can find one on the east side, we would as well.
Mooring says funding the vaccination effort is a lot more straightforward than funding a small business grant program, which is why he'd like to see the county partner with a third-party organization that can vet applications and distribute the funds should they be approved for that purpose.
And then at the same time that a program like this might be coming out of the county, there's probably going to be a whole fresh wave of assistance coming at the federal level, whether it's PPP, the paycheck protection. There's special provisions for restaurants and the hospitality industry that have been particularly hard hit. Probably among the hardest hit here in Benton County would be in those areas. And so I'm not sure how this program would complement those. So there's a lot of questions. That's why that committee is going to have to address those questions.
But he adds he supports the subcommittee's good intentions.
We just have to make sure that whatever they land on is something we can execute to, and we can execute to efficiently and of course, legally.
At tonight's quorum court meeting, the members of the CARES Act Reimbursement Subcommittee plan to figure out a date for their first discussion about the small business grant proposal. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
Justice of the Peace Joseph Bollinger says he's been in touch with Washington County Justices of the Peace before and after drafting his small business grant proposal, since those officials had been discussing a similar idea. Last month, Washington County Justice of the Peace Eva Madison, who is one of four Democrats on the 15-member quorum court, proposed an ordinance that would allocate a portion of the county's $4.5 million CARES Act reimbursement toward small business grants, hunger relief, rent, and mortgage assistance. The measure was voted down along party lines, but will come up again at tonight's quorum court meeting. When we spoke with Republican Justice of the Peace Patrick Deakins and Democrat Justice of the Peace Suki Hires for a report that aired on yesterday's edition of Ozarks, we asked both of them if they would consider establishing a subcommittee similar to the one that's been put together in Benton County.
I think we try to, of course, limit our committees just to give more of a people a voice, and then also justices of the peace, this is not necessarily a full-time job. So I think we're trying to help each other kind of prioritize things and split up the workload, if you will.
I really like the idea of forming a subcommittee, but I would have to say that as dysfunctional as our committees currently are in Washington County, I don't know that I would have a lot of faith unless it was a committee of the whole, because the committees are structured in a way that only certain voices are being heard. And so I love the idea. I'm concerned about the functionality of it.
With a supermajority on the quorum court, Republicans also hold supermajorities on all county committees. Since our report on the current state of the CARES Act reimbursement in Washington County aired yesterday, we've learned the Washington County Republican Committee of Arkansas issued a resolution on Tuesday regarding Eva Madison's ordinance. The resolution states the committee believes and affirms its party's state platform, which addresses the COVID-19 pandemic by supporting small businesses, hardworking Arkansans, and those unable to care for themselves. It goes on to say, quote, "The members of the Washington County Republican Committee hereby instruct the Justices of the Peace of the Washington County Quorum Court, as direct agents of the people, to do everything within their delegated authority to direct the use of all federal and state tax dollars coming to the county as a result of COVID-19 relief to be used to avoid the expansion and increase in the size of government." The resolution further resolves that elected justices of the peace are directed to vote against the passage of Madison's ordinance or similar measures. Madison issued a statement in response to the resolution saying, quote, "This action by the local Republicans is truly heartless. They don't care about those in the community in need. They just care about money. I'm also glad my political party doesn't direct me how to vote and lets me vote my conscience and what's good for the people of my district." The Washington County Republican Committee resolution was signed by Tyler Beaver, the second vice chairman, who was standing in for the chairman of the committee, Brian Lester. Lester is also the Washington County attorney and acts as parliamentarian during county quorum court meetings. We'd also like to issue a correction. In yesterday's report, we mentioned a newspaper editorial by Patrick Deakins that referred to a small group of self-interested individuals. We mistakenly attributed his criticism to a Facebook group called Washington County Cares. Deakins says he was referring to several individuals in the community, not the group on Facebook.